All right. I've been doing a series on the royal priesthood, and it's kind of its application for our life today. Because the problem with sometimes with scripture reading is you can kind of blow through the Bible and not know what it means for us today, and that's not good. So I usually start with the scripture, and then we pray, but I've got like a ton of scriptures this morning, and then we'll pray. So, well, four scriptures. You can do this. I believe in you. So it starts off like this. It's Matthew 16. We'll have it up on the screen for you guys. We good in the back? Yeah? There we go. It says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Jesus says this twice. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Matthew 21, 21 through 22. Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, because he had cursed the fig tree at that point, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. And then lastly, John 14, 12 through 14. He says, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, because I am going to the Father, and he sends the Holy Spirit. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would impart to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation more and more in the knowledge of who you are, that you'd open up our eyes to see you more clearly. We love you, Father. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, small, short exercise really quickly. Excuse me. How many people here, and I just would like to see a show of hands, how many people here have received answers to their prayers? Everyone just look around the room, okay? It's awesome, right? God answers prayers. Now, how many have experienced answered prayers in the area of provision and finance? Like things are tight, God came through, awesome, right? He's a faithful God. How many have experienced answered prayers in the area of reconciliation? There was a parting in the family, friends, reconciliation, prodigals. Awesome. Okay. How many have experienced answered prayers in the area of like overcoming like a difficult circumstance? Like you didn't know how you're going to get through. God led you through. Yeah. Awesome. Like look around. Like don't just be like, don't look at people. Like, all right, like tunnel vision. Like look around. Okay. It's awesome. All right. How many have experienced answered prayers in the area of like a healed heart? Like you're depressed and suicidal maybe. Okay. Awesome. How about physical healing? Yeah? Miraculous physical healing? Awesome. Very awesome. Our God answers prayers. Amen. What happens is like, especially when you see it in other people's lives, you see it in your own life as well, you experience it, it becomes part of you. Like you can bring like the wisest guys before me, right? The most brainiac people, that's a word, I don't know. But like you can bring them before me and they could tell me that there is no God and that there is no supernatural and I could laugh at them because there is. I've experienced it for myself. I've seen the miraculous take place. You can't tell me the miraculous doesn't happen because I've seen that it does. And it just like, you know, as we were talking about like being a priest in this priesthood, and man, if you don't have faith, you're going to have a hard time being a priest. Like in this royal priesthood that you're called to be a part of, like it's not just me that's called to be a priest. This was the heart and intention of God right from the beginning, that you would all be part of this royal priesthood, that you can relate to God, that you can draw heaven to earth. And this is just so important that you begin to see yourselves this way more and more, that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a living sacrifice, that you are you're a son or you're a child of the living God that gives you identity. People in this world don't know what to identify with nowadays. You know, you look at and you are a priest in this priesthood. And it just like You just begin to see yourself this way more and more. You begin to identify this way more and more. It gives you purpose in this world. And so no one can convince me that God doesn't heal, because I've seen it happen. I've seen it through my own eyes. I know that God answers prayers. Now, show of hands, how many of you prayed for things that have never happened? Look around. It just never happened. It's clear that God answers prayers. The danger is when we allow the disappointment and the disillusionment from the unanswered prayers to outweigh the weightiness of the prayers that have been answered. Does that make sense? Because you can get so focused on, well, God didn't do this for me, so he's obviously not good and doesn't hear me. But he answered these prayers over here. And sometimes we can just have this understanding, like, you can just fall into disappointment. And like, I don't know, I've lived with disappointment. I'm sure you guys have lived with disappointment. And it's hard. And in this whole thing of like being a priest, like you're called to be a priest in this kingdom. You carry God's authority and identity, and you have this mandate that we've been given to, like, not just go about your day as if, like, you know, we look at the cross, we look at Jesus Christ has done. And sometimes you can just like, well, he died for me. I guess that's wonderful. I'm just going to go live my merry life, right? And it's just like you can kind of like you kind of miss out on what Christ has died for. If he died for this, I want to give my life to it. Like, sometimes we can just ignore what the cross is all about, his death and his resurrection, and it's just like, it means nothing to you. I've lived that way myself. What he gives his life for, I want to give my life to. And, you know, there's so much that's like fake in this world, and there's so much that's not real. I love that he provides us with something to live for that's bigger than ourselves. And you'd be a part of this priesthood where it's just like, and then we have this mandate. He has this kingdom. From the beginning of his ministry, he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. All the stories that he told were about this kingdom. He says, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's this reality of like bringing heaven here to earth. It's okay, all right? You guys good?
Yeah.
All right. And so, and it's like, this is what we're called to be a part of. To your families, to your children, to your loved ones, in your workplaces, in your schools. There's some purpose that you get to carry. It's bigger than you. And so, Christ gives his life and he initiates this priesthood that we all get to be a part of. And this is you carry this authority, and wherever you have influence and responsibility, there you have authority. And it's just the way you have to begin to see yourself. And like I was saying last week, like when you see yourself as a priest, like don't think of yourself with like robes on, like a turban or something weird, right? Like black flowing robes with like a collar. Don't think of yourself that way, all right? When you see yourself as a priest, like see yourself with armor on. You're armed with the armor of Christ. You know, we sometimes like underestimate the weapons of our warfare, which are, the Bible says, are not carnal, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy strongholds in every argument or every thought raised against the knowledge of God. And there's such a war about who God is. That's why I say, like, the most important thing about your life is not what you think it is. The most important thing about you is not who your parents are. It's not where you grow up. It's not how much influence you may have. It's not how much wealth you may have or how gifted of an individual you may be. The most important thing about you is how you see God. What's he like? It shapes your reality. What he did on the cross, it shapes your reality. At least it can if you allow it. If he gives his life for this, I want to give my life to it. It's not just for me. It's not just for a pastor. It's for everyone. You don't need me to relate to God. Although there's something just beautiful about us coming together on a Sunday to lift up the name of Jesus. You know, when you don't know who you are and the authority you carry and the kingdom that we represent, it will, when you don't know it, you kind of just miss out on life. And we can allow disappointments to rob us of our faith, because you get so focused on what didn't happen or what, you know, something that just, you know, you just missed out. You prayed for something and God didn't come through, and you can just lose faith. And it's a dangerous place to exist. You know, and there, Sometimes when we live that way, it renders the priesthood of believers powerless. And you're not called to be powerless. There are some parameters in prayer, some principles that as a priest, you should understand. Without an understanding of prayer and also binding and loosing and worship and intercession, without some parameters and understandings of it, you could have a hard time appreciating its effectiveness. And because what we don't want is we don't want doubt to reign here. Once doubt gets seated here, what it does is it destroys our effectiveness in God's kingdom. And so there are certain rules that we have to recognize about prayer, otherwise you could hurt yourself with disappointment. It's kind of like in nature and creation. If there are certain rules and parameters that we should all kind of acknowledge. Like gravity is a good one, right? What goes up must come down, right? Gravity. If you ignore gravity, probably gonna hurt yourself. So like stick with gravity, folks, right? Time, we're in this constant river of time that's all flowing in one direction. I have to, we're all forced to work in the parameters of time. And it's the same thing within prayer. There are certain parameters that need to be understood. The foundation of prayer, which includes intercession, worship, binding, and loosing, the foundation of it is faith in Jesus Christ. But with this faith, there is an element that needs to be embraced. Do you understand this? Okay? Now, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Okay, just so you're with me. He perfects our faith. How is faith perfected? Because a lot of times people are like, I'm going to work on my faith. It doesn't work like that, right? How is faith perfected? Okay, wait a second, all right? So here we go. You know, if faith is important to God, because it says in Hebrews that without faith it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith, right? So, and when you read Hebrews chapter 11, because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 is, we look to Jesus, the author, and he started this. He perfects this within us. And when you read Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all these men and women who do all these amazing things. And then it starts off awesome. It's like, yes, I want to do that too. And then as it goes on, it's like, no, I don't know if I want that so much. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 32, it says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Like, that all sounds awesome. And then he goes on. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world is not worthy, wandering about in desert and mountains and dens of caves of the earth. That part, I'm like, I don't know if I like that so much. Right? And this is faith? You know what's impressive? The impressive part isn't when you just get all the victory all the time. The impressive part is when everything goes bad and you still keep pressing forward. Because either these people were nuts or they're a bunch of liars. Or maybe they were just so convinced that God was going to come through. That's faith. Man, it's easy to have faith when everything goes well. And Peter, one of them, said, I fought the good fight of faith. Right? It means faith requires a fight. It's easy to hope when everything's going well, but hope is this mental expectation for good. Like, you have to be put in hopeless situations in order to exercise hope and love. Like, it's easy to love people and people love you in return, but when someone stabs you in the back and you have to go and forgive them, that's tough. Faith requires enemies. Hope requires hopeless situations. Love requires enemies. Faith requires fights. Hope requires hopelessness. It's like, you take a good look at this world, it's like, man, it's like this perfect incubator for developing these three qualities within us. I guess God does know what he's doing. Right? And so you look at all these things, and people will often believe that they have to perfect their own faith. Faith is perfected by looking to Jesus and seeing his goodness in spite of the trials that lay before you. Can you go through stuff and still declare God's good? Can you? because I've struggled. Romans 2 verse 4 says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's his goodness. It's not being afraid. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance. And repentance is changing how you think about things. It's his goodness that changes the way I see things. It's his goodness that changes my mind and the way I think about life. It makes me rethink what I'm facing. It's his goodness. You know, we don't work on our faith. We look to Jesus and see his goodness, regardless of what comes. He's good. That perfects my faith. If you can't see God's goodness, you're going to have a hard time exercising faith as a priest. Does that make sense? You know, does God make sense? No. But he's good, right? Does God make sense? Because we're oftentimes we're like, here's my box, God. If you could fit into here in my understanding of the world, then we'll get along. And he's like, yeah, right. Like, I'm too big for your box. Like, sometimes we just allow God, like, this is where I'm comfortable. If you could just fit inside here. God's too big for your box. All right? He's too big for our understanding. He's too great for that. Okay? It's never that he's going to come down to us. It's always him lifting us up to him, right? Is he safe? Who said anything about safe? Right? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Come on. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe? Chronicles of Narnia? No? Right? He's wild, you know. He's not a tame lion. He's good. For those mad at God for the state of the world, that's like equivalent to my son being mad at me for the state of his room. Right? So you're mad at me for the state of your room? Forget that. I just laugh. We messed this up. He gave us this world. We messed this up. And sometimes I think the problem is not understanding the goodness of God. Like, what is goodness? Because if you equate goodness to just when everything goes well with you and you get stuff and things, right? I get all the stuff I want. I get all the things I want. Oh, God is good. If that's the essence of God's goodness, you're not understanding God's goodness. Because like if I spoil my children, if I just give them whatever they want, all the stuff and things that they'd like, and I spoil them, well, that's not good. And therefore, it's not goodness, is it? But if God humbles you, well, you just experience the goodness of God. If he corrects you, it's because he's good. And he cared so much about you that he had to course correct the way you were thinking so that you wouldn't go down that wrong road. You with me? Yeah. Like, that's the goodness of God. Sometimes the material things that we consider to be the blessings of God are actually the things that get in the way of us knowing God's goodness. Sometimes the blessings keep us from truly appreciating the one from whom all blessings flow. If he gives, it's his goodness. If he takes away, it's still his goodness. God only acts towards us according to his goodness, whether you like it or not. And there have been plenty of times where I did not like it. I'm sure you can attest to that as well. And so when you look back, when you're in the midst of it, where's God? He's not answering my prayers. And then you look back after you get through it all, and you're like, my gosh, he was with me the whole time. You know, ultimately, what is of absolute importance to God is the state of our hearts. There are lessons here, guys, that we cannot learn there. I mean, and this life, the rabbis believe that this was an incubator for the life to come. It's preparing us to exist somewhere that you've never existed before, right? Like, imagine living in a place where there's no fear. That's a new one. No greed. That's a real big one, new one, right? No sorrow, no sickness. How do you live there? How do you exist there? Everyone's honest. I don't even believe half of you. So, like... Right? No, of course I love you. You know, it's, now I'm being... No, never mind. Let's just move on. So, like, I'm serious. Like, this life is preparing us for the one to come. What God's interested most is your heart. And then we're like, well, he's not answering my prayers. Well, that attitude is probably like a red flag going, well, he needs me to work on this heart, right? So you're a priest in this kingdom. You guys good? We're good? We're here. You're a priest in this kingdom. You're called to release heaven and the earth through prayer, intercession, worship, binding, loosing. The foundation of all this comes from a place of faith that is rooted in this conviction. God is good. That's my baseline. He's good. Come with me. He's good. I'm not going to falter from this because I know faith is perfected when I see his goodness in the midst of what's not good. And here are just some principles of prayer because that's my foundation. Now I have to build upon it. Okay? Foundation is he's good. Here's some things with creation, right? You got to hold to certain parameters and rules. If you don't understand, as a priest, you should understand prayer and how it works. Okay? What to do, what not to do. Here's the thing. There's five things I'm going to give you. Number one, faith and fakeness don't work. Okay? God is anything but fake. All right? I'm not here. This is not a social lecture hall. I'm not here to, like, entertain you. All right? I want to come together. I want to meet with a living God. There's plenty of fake in this world. I want something that's real. You know, I'm sick of shallow Christianity. We come to church, we do our nice bit, and then we just go about our day and totally oblivious to what Christ has died for. The days of shallow Christianity come to an end. Jesus says when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be fake. Like, don't be long-winded. Say what you need to say, because most of the time you should be doing a lot more listening than talking anyway, right? God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should be doing a lot more listening than talking. We tend to do all the talking, though. People talk way too much. And God knows we're from the Northeast. People just have a lot to say. Just shut up and listen. But, like, when we do speak, like, don't be long-winded. Don't be like the hypocrites, he says. Don't try to impress anybody. Like, you can't impress God anyway. Just be real. Like, he can see your heart anyway. If you're going to be fake with God, he's going to be like, oh, yeah, that's a red flag. I can see he needs me to work on his heart. You're like, here I am. I've got a bad attitude. I'm seeing you wrong. Come and correct me. That's really what you're doing, right? I prayed for such stupid things through the years. God's always had to, like, correct. Oh, he needs to help. Let me work on his heart. Because that's the thing what prayer does. Before prayer changes anything, it changes you. Right? It changes me. It changes you. Every time you begin to pray, you don't know what to pray. You pray stupid things like me. God changes you. Before prayer changes anything, it changes you. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah in Matthew 15, verse 8. He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Like, I don't want to come to church and be, like, just singing some songs. Holy, holy, I don't know the words. So just like, yeah, and then just go about your day. I want this to be real. Amen. Lift your hands. Clap your hands. Like, let's get into this. Like, this is real. There's so much fake in this world. Stupid fake. As a priest, you cannot afford to have your heart far from God. God doesn't do fake. He's real. I've seen him. I know him. He's real. I've seen his power. He's real. I don't care what you say. He's real. James 4, verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He literally opposes people that are prideful, right? Anything with pride as a motivation is a red flag for God. Oh, he needs help. I'm going to work on his heart. You know, we're praying for things that it's coming from the wrong place. And before he answers the prayers, he's like, oh, I'm going to change him instead. Because he's interested in your hearts before anything else. James 4, 3 through 4 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. Just spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, smack, smack. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You ask and do not receive, it says, because you ask wrongly. Like, it should be good to, like, ask yourself a question every once in a while. Like, what am I praying for and why? And is it going to lead you into disappointment? I mean, Because a lot of times we pray for things that just don't make sense. They don't add up. They don't really, in the light of eternity, the grand scheme of eternity, it really doesn't matter. Like I said, I prayed for so many stupid things. God has to change the way I even pray. And you know, he says, like, don't love the world or don't be friends with the world. I love this world. I'm gonna go for a walk later in this beautiful day. I love this world. First, I'm gonna take a nap, but like, that's gotta come first. But I love this world. But you know, it's what John's talking about when he says, don't be friends with the world. 1 John 1:16, he says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride in possessions, the pride in life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. It's like when your heart desires the things that God can give rather than him himself. Like, he yearns jealously for us, it says. It's not about just the blessing. It's about the blessor. It's not about the creature. It's about the creator, right? It's about him. It's about relationship with him. Make sure you take a good look at what you're praying for. Don't be fake. Man, let's be real with God. Let's be real with each other. Number two, faith requires action. So faith isn't fake. And number two is faith requires action. Faith, Pastor Phil has always preached, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It's a risk. Faith is risky. In fact, I would go so far as to say that faith isn't safe. Like, there's so much in here that's not safe, right? All these people do all these amazing things. Belief is more about hope. Hope is about expectation. You can live with despair. You can have negative hope. It's called despair. But hope, the way we're meant to hope, is this expectation that God is good. Faith acts upon it, all right? And I would say this, that faith are the actions and risks you're willing to take in light of the hope and expectations that you hold. Is he good? I'm going to live my life according that way. I'm going to have an expectation that my God is going to prevail. And then from that, faith acts upon it. Because you can have a belief in God and not necessarily a faith in God. Because faith applies action to what you believe. As you know, faith and fakeness don't work. Faith and laziness don't work. They just don't. It's like we're called to be this priesthood of believers. You get to participate in what God is doing. Each in your own gifts and talents and abilities. We can go into the world. We actually make a difference for God. You can live for something that's bigger than yourself. But faith requires action, not laziness. It says in Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Lazy people, they live with constant disappointment because they won't try. Like, you can go into this, like, there's that saying, like, try and fail, but just don't fail to try. Like, try something, right? If God puts someone on your heart, call them up. If you see someone in the grocery store you feel like a connection to, go and see if you can pray for them. Like, I don't know. You can mess up 100 times. Who cares what people think? Right? You know, I remember asking God, like, when I was picking out my major for college, and I just remember, like, praying and asking God, like, what's your will? You know, if you're going to be praying over and over again, like, God, what's your will? You're never going to move anywhere. All right? It's like one of the signs of lazy people. It's like, God, I'm not going to move until you tell me what to do. Shut up. Right? I remember, like, God, what's your will for my life? What major should I choose? I remember praying this like over and over and over again. And I so strongly felt God say to me, I remember I was driving too. I was driving and I was praying this stupid prayer. And he goes, and it was almost like he was a little bit exasperated. He's like, just pick something. I'll use it. I was like, oh, okay. I'll choose this one. Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, the Lord directs his steps. Just have a plan. Just try something. And just watch how God will direct your steps. But if you just stand still and not do anything, you're not going to get anywhere. That makes sense? Yeah. Proverbs 18, verse 9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. And this is a crazy one. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. That means that lazy people are closer in relation to the enemy who destroys than the ones who are actually faithfully serving God. Ouch. Proverbs 26, verse 13. Solomon's like, I'm going to nail these ones. Okay. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. A lazy person always has an excuse. There's lions everywhere. right? God's like, go do this. No, there's lions. Judson, go clean your room. No, there's lions, right? There was someone, you know, next time someone tells me to do something I don't want to do, like, oh, there's lions everywhere. I can't do it. It's like they have an excuse for everything. Just shut up, right? They don't step out in faith. They're too afraid. Proverbs 26, verse 14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. Like, why should God answer the prayers of a lazy person? Why? He says, when you're faithful with the little, then he gives you more. Proverbs 26, verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in his dish and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. Lazy people just don't follow through. They won't. They're not faithful. Proverbs 26, verse 16, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. I hate this one. You ever try and like give advice to someone and they're like, first they're like, oh, there's lions everywhere. And then they like, well, you know, I know better than you. It's like, fine. I'm never going to give advice to a sluggard again, right? They're just full of pride. They won't listen to anybody. Faith without activity is dead. The inability to act upon what you believe is dead faith. Dead faith will always lead you to be double-minded. That will keep you doubting. James 1, 7 through 8. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Like, I want to know how to pray, right? Man, if you're not going to act upon what you believe, it's dead faith. That person doesn't get anything. Number three, faith recognizes authority. So faith isn't fake. Faith isn't lazy. Faith doesn't rebel. Faith recognizes authority. You guys good? We all good? Yeah? Yeah? All right. We're almost done. I'm lying, though. Okay, so you can't be in authority if you're not under authority. That's how this works, right? We are Jesus, the head of the church. He's the chief. He's in all authority. If I'm not going to live in submission to him, why should I feel like I have authority in this world? Like it says in Matthew, it's Matthew 8, and Jesus is talking with the centurion who's got the sick servant, and he's like, I got the sick servant. And Jesus is like, well, I'll just come to your house and we'll pray for him. And he's like, no, like, I'm not worthy to have you under my house, but just say the words and it'll be healed. And this is what he says. He says, for I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. So he makes that distinction first. I'm under authority, therefore I'm in authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. There's another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus marvels at him for his faith, but we see that this man was someone who recognized how authority works. In the areas where you have influence and responsibility, you have authority. In fact, in your own households, right, you can bind hell and you can loose heaven, right? More so than I could if I were to come into your household, unless you invited me, but you have the authority. You have the, as the head of your household, you have the highest authority in the household to bind hell and to loose heaven because you have responsibility and you have influence there, right? Authority always has to stay in its lane in order for it to work properly. That includes the government, by the way. Okay? Does that make sense, guys? All right? And this is why, you know, Christians or the priesthood, they need to seek out and gain seats of authority in government. Because Christians should run for public office. Because there they would have the ability to bind hell and to loose heaven. I'm not going to go and start praying over, like, or binding and loosing things over an area where I have no responsibility or authority. I'm not going to do it. I'll pray. I'm going to pray for God to intervene. I'm going to pray for God to come, that his kingdom would come and his will would be done and established. If I see things in your own life, I'm going to be praying for you, okay? You better watch out, all right? That's how this is going to work. But, I mean, I'm not going to bind and loose in areas where I don't have authority. You can get yourself into trouble. And here's the thing, too. Don't be binding and loosing things. Don't be binding the kingdom of darkness if you're in submission to the kingdom of darkness. If you're dabbling in darkness, don't be binding things in the kingdom of darkness. You're going to hurt yourself. Does that make sense? If you're going to take authority over something that you're under the authority of, not good. All right? That's why repentance is needed. Jesus, cleanse me. Thank you for your forgiveness. I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm a priest in God's kingdom. I'm a child of the living God. You have to remind yourself of these things. We can be cleansed from all that garbage. We can come out from underneath darkness. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the place I'm going to operate from. Amen. All right. Last one is, oh no, two more. So faith isn't fake. Faith recognizes authority. Faith, what was the other one? Faith is, yeah, that's good. Good job. So number four is this, is that faith recognizes reality. And I probably should have titled this something else because sometimes faith shouldn't recognize reality. Sometimes God's just too big for your reality, right? But sometimes we pray for healing when the reality is that you need to take better care of yourself. All right? Like, exercise, sleep well, eat the right foods, okay? Don't be praying that God would heal you you want better health if you're not taking care of yourself. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You better steward what God has given to you in a good way. You guys good? All right? In the areas that you don't have ability, like I've seen a little blind boy receive his sight. I've seen legs that were like not in alignment because one leg was longer than the other. We've prayed. I've actually watched the shorter leg grow out to be even with the other one. Like, God is a God of miracles. Pastor Phil has amazing testimonies as well, more so than me. And so this is real. This is all real. But, you know, I've seen more supernatural healings than I have seen healings for the common cold. Like, go eat some chicken soup. Go lay down and rest, right? Like, God gave you this beautiful immune system. Take care of yourself, all right? I've just never seen anyone miraculously healed of a cold. Like, I'll pray for peace, you know? But God gave you a body that can take care of itself. And everyone's like, they have these, like, oh, I've got a cut. Well, well, God is, you know, it's healing, all right? Just come on. We have to steward what God has given to us. And let me just, when it comes to old age, as much as we don't like it, we all experience the second law of thermodynamics, okay? Everything over time breaks down, all right? I don't know how else to, like, say that more sensitively, okay? All right, so it's the reality of decay. Like, sometimes, and once again, like, we don't get to live here for very long. I recognize that as well, okay? I could be gone tomorrow for all we know. Just, but I will not, okay? I'm not declaring that. But it's just, you know, it's just sometimes, even with old age, it's just sometimes the most appropriate thing that you could do for someone who's on their deathbed is just, God, take them peaceably. May they not suffer. This isn't the end, guys. This is just the beginning. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, it says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but we look to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's where we're going to have our eyes, our fixture. We're going to be fixed on the things that are not seen. All right? God, our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature, as you see the goodness of God, may it be renewed day by day. Amen. And number five is this. Faith recognizes the power of your words. All right? You were created in the image of God. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful reality. He spoke and things came into existence, but we carry the identity and the authority of Christ, and what you speak and how you speak matters. You know, Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Like, don't be, like, saying bad things about other people and bad things about yourself and think that you're going to live in the blessings of God. You are going to live in the blessings of God, but you're like, come and fix my heart, God. I'm saying bad things about people or bad things about myself, and he's going, oh, I got to correct that. He'll fix you. He will, and that's his goodness. Jesus instructs us not to curse people, which means you can curse people. You can curse yourself with your words. Matthew 12, 36 to 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. As a priest, you need to be careful about how you speak. You really do. And here's something that's a pet peeve of mine, and I'm going to share it with you. I don't care how people in the world speak. They can speak however they want to speak. I care about how you speak. Okay? Good? Here's something I don't like. People in the world can talk however they want to talk. I'm not going to correct somebody for their foul language. All right? But as a priest, you need to be careful of your language. The word holy. The word holy is this word that means separated as unto God. Be holy, for he is holy, right? He's unique. He's one of a kind. There's no one like God. You're meant to be separated as unto him as a priest. Yeah? Yep. So that's what that word means. Holy means separated as unto God. But when someone uses the word like in an expression, holy, and then they attach a foul word to the end of it, that foul word does not belong to God. Amen. Don't be like holy and drop some type of F-bomb or something like that. That does not belong to God. You with me? Pet peeve of mine. Don't you do that. Okay? Your tongue can dictate the course of your existence just by how you speak. And it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. As a priest, we don't want to pray from a place of fear and failure and frustration. But we often can. And what happens is that instead of bringing heaven to earth, we pray from earth to heaven. I'm praying for this place where I'm in fear. It's something I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm just frustrated with this. Not that you can't be that way. It's just recognizing who God is, his goodness, that kingdom. It's just changing how you think about things. Of course we get frustrated. Of course we feel these ways sometimes. But it's just, I'm going to set my mind on who God is. I want to bring heaven to earth. And so just a bit of homework this week. You guys good? Doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. So this week, I want you to ask God to give you a picture of your kids and your loved ones that really need God in their lives. And what I want you to do is you're going to begin to pray for them. But you're going to pray for kids and loved ones that you've never seen before. I want you to ask God to give you a picture of what they were meant to be, of how they're meant to exist in heaven, just in perfect health, and just this, that their faith, which is, you know, they have this abounding faith in who God is. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're struggling with, but you would see them the way God sees them. And then begin to pray and just start declaring that over them. My kids are worshipers. My kids are full of faith. And just start thanking God, right? My kids understand their identity. They're sons, the beautiful sons and daughters of the living God. And just begin to draw heaven to earth. I'm not praying from fear and failure and frustration. I'm not praying from earth to heaven. I'm praying from heaven to earth. As a priest, you have this power and this authority. This is what you're meant to draw from. You guys with me? Yeah. And so just begin this week. Just ask God, can you give me a picture of who they are, my kids, my loved ones, and just begin to just declare the reality of heaven. And then you got to be patient, because it's not an instantaneous thing, right? The first time I snapped it, it was like a dud one last time, but I can snap. It's good. Sometimes, you know, you have to be patient. This is going to take some time. Sometimes it could take years, guys. But just watch and just wait and just see. Be a priest in this kingdom. Let's call heaven to earth. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Why don't you stand? Let me pray for you. I know we did this earlier, but Paul was writing about just lifting holy hands. It's just an act of receiving. Holy Spirit, we just receive you. We thank you, God, that you've imparted over every single person this beautiful identity and purpose in this world to be a priest in this kingdom. And God, I just come against disappointment in Jesus' name. In the areas of our lives, God, where we have held on to disappointment, I pray that that would be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that regardless of the disappointments we may have faced, you are good. That never changes. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You were good. You are good. You forevermore will be good. And that is the foundation of our lives. And so, Father, I pray that that would be the faith that we build upon. Thank you that you are a good God. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus over disappointment, healed in Jesus' name. And I pray that we begin to see you in a new light. I pray that we begin to see our family and loved ones that we're going to be praying for in a new light, Lord God. Help us to see the reality of heaven in the earth. And may we draw from that, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray your blessing over everyone here. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. And if anyone needs prayer, we'd love to pray for you. But Pastor Phil, he's going to be meeting with anyone who's interested in orientation. It's just a half-hour class, but for everybody else, have a wonderful week, and keep on focusing on the goodness of God. God bless you, everyone.